Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hit it! Na 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 na.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
This meeting is not about who caused Scott Collins to withdraw. This is a special meeting to make the council aware of the conduct of its lawyer in response to constructive criticism, and to disclose to council how I intend to go forward as to attorney communications. There's always room for improvement, and I provided feedback for that purpose. After I provided constructive criticism, city attorney's response over the next 30 hours was a series of emails and texts that are not appropriate for Milton's lawyer to send to anyone. The only contact I will have with Mr. Andrade going forward is the communication required during a Milton City meeting.
Candy's vomiting on the board. David has fallen out, passed out in the control room. It's such a junior high thing. It's crazy. And I really did. I prayed in public for the city yesterday. I mean, I put a thing up on Facebook, you know, come on, everybody settle down, be nice, be good. Oh no. So Mayor Heather Lindsay, at least she followed through on having this special called meeting. This is literally the third time in within a week that we'd scheduled a special called meeting about the Alex Andrade problem. And then the first two had gotten canceled, lack of evidence. And then this one, which was not about anything specific to the hiring fiasco around Scott Collins, but was entirely about the unprofessional emails. Because all she did was offer constructive criticism, just offering constructive criticism. That's all it was. So Casey Powell, who has become one of my new heroes for just like being the voice of reason on the council.
I have not had an issue with communication with our city attorney. Though I can say honestly, I don't communicate very much with him other than at these meetings. And I appreciate you clarifying what the meeting was about. And I'm not really sure what you're looking for in this meeting, but thank you.
I have no idea why we're here. So a special called meeting, as opposed to, say, putting it on the agenda for next week's meeting, would be like some exigent circumstance, like some really bad thing that suddenly needs, you know, our attention and cannot wait because, oh my God, right? And yet there was no agenda item other than a conversation. And when later on in, and God, there's so much from last night. On the one hand, it's an hour and a half of my life and the city council's life and many people who are watching and we're in the meeting. It's an hour and a half of our lives we'll never get back. Then again, it's going to make for entertaining radio. So, you know, but it's so sad. It's so sad. So what did they think of the meeting itself? Well, as, you know, Casey Powell said later,
it's embarrassing. This meeting's embarrassing. I think just with some of the facts that I know of at this point in time to have this meeting to go after our city attorney, I think is unprofessional and very embarrassing to our city.
And he's not the only one that thinks so. And it got worse after that. And I don't just mean because people said things. I just mean that it's thinking about, you know, why would you even bother? And you had four city council members who all said, I don't know what is wrong with you, why you can't figure this out. Alex is great and professional. And about the only thing you can say is that he did respond with some comments to getting pushed and pushed and pushed. I mean, think about this. Two special city council meetings called and then canceled over allegations that Alex Andrade did something wrong. It's harassment. It's amazing. It's harassment by the mayor. I don't read it any other way. I'm not surprised he got ticked off at a couple of points. And, you know, anyway, so he says, you know, look, Alex is great. He should not have to deal with this.
I've had nothing but admiration for attorney. And it sickens me he has to deal with this. It's unacceptable.
Look, let me tell you what one of the complaints was. Okay, so from Mike Cusack, okay, remember he's the one that thinks he was supposed to run the negotiations, and I tell you, I keep trying to give as much grace on this as I can, and in my opinion, I have come to believe, I'll say I'm 85% sure that Mike Cusack is responsible for everything that went wrong. I'm 85%. I'm still not quite willing to say that he knew what he was doing was wrong. I'm not quite there yet. I'm close, but I think that a lot of this ties to him, and I'll explain later on in the show. But the complaints were he read a lot of the texts, you know, and emails back and forth with Alex. And then, listen to this. This is one of the major complaints. It's unprofessional because...
It was basically harassment. That's how I look at it. I mean, to contact me 5:30 in the morning...
On a text.
And then again at almost 8 o'clock at night...
8 o'clock.
How would you feel if you all got texts from an attorney with the city in those hours? Even it's uncalled for.
Well, I don't know what your rules in your house are for communications, Councilman Cusack, but I'm up from 4 to midnight, and I get texts all the time. And if I don't want to be bothered, I turn my phone off. When I'm sleeping, I turn my phone off. And then when I wake up, I turn it back on. Well, I mean, I turn the ringer off, you know. And I text people at all hours. People text me at all hours. Your local elected officials text around the clock. Your PIOs text around the clock. The leaders in this community, there's people up listening now. I'll get texts in the 5 o'clock hour. And I always try to cater to when people have shown me that they're awake or asleep. I don't typically text after 10, I don't typically text before 7, you know. But if I know somebody's up, I'll text them, no big deal. But this is normal behavior. And so, 8:30, that's your cutoff? Really? Roxanne Meese?
I text and email people all night long. If I wake up at night and I think about something, I'll send it. But I don't expect to get an immediate response back. I mean, if I call somebody, you know, I expect to speak to them or leave a message at least, and that's more urgent. But texting and emailing is just something that you do whenever you're up and thinking about it. And a lot of times I don't go to bed till midnight.
Yeah, and you don't want to forget your stuff. And she's exactly right. Calling is the rude one, right? Because calling is like a right now kind of thing. But you text people, you email, especially email, you know. I mean, you know, you can turn off your notifications if you don't want to be bothered. Here's what's extra funny about that. The mayor had sent her self-described corrective to Alex at like 11:45 at night or something. Because it's normal. It's not a big, and you can kind of see when he was reading off all of those complaints and she's like, oh no, don't bring up when I sent him stuff. Like, it's just so weird. The littlest things. And when Alex spoke, you know, They went through all of the complaints and they went through all the support. Okay, so he clearly had 4 votes on his side. It wasn't a voting meeting. We'll talk about that later. But he said, "Look, I'm sorry, but you guys have several of you, Heather Lindsay and Mike Cusack in particular, and maybe Marilyn Farrow. I'm not sure. You've withheld information from me. I cannot do my job to protect this city unless you communicate with me. That's my job. So if I ask you things and you don't get back to me." I am here to protect the city.
As your city attorney, I can't do my job if information is being withheld from me.
And it was.
I don't want anyone to feel concerned about contacting me because my job, my ethical duty is to protect the city from liability and in certain occasions protect the city from embarrassment. I can't do that if information's being withheld from.
I would just say nobody can do that. Sadly, at this point.
I've asked several council members to inform me of what they knew about what transpired that week. And unfortunately, that information wasn't shared.
Yeah. And information was withheld. For example, we learned last night for the first time ever that Mike Cusack not only had a phone call with Scott Collins before he talked with Alex Andrade, he had text messages back and forth with him. Several, apparently. None of that was ever disclosed. That was the first time we heard that. And by the way, there's some doozies in those texts that Mike Cusack read that weirdly, apparently he didn't understand what he was disclosing to counsel last night. It's wild. I'll have that stuff for you later on in the show. But so, and he apologized. Alex apologized for, you know, not understanding that he was so sensitive about the time, because how would he know that if he hadn't been told? You know, don't text me at these times, right? You know, that's what you tell somebody.
I did not know about Councilman Cusack's concern about the timing of communications, because I've received communications from Councilman Cusack at 9 p.m. at 7 a.m. I've received an email from...
like, I've received texts from you at all hours too, right?
The mayor at 11:45 p.m. And so I was unaware of that concern from council. I will adjust the timing of my communication to council members who are sensitive to that issue.
So I'll adjust. No big deal. That's fine. Because Alex is a pretty responsible, capable person who can figure out, oh, well, this person wants text in business hours. Okay, you know, fine. Whatever. We'll just do it that way. Things can wait. It's not that big of a deal. So in toward the end of the meeting, after everybody had had their say.
Are you leaning forward to be recognized, sir?
Are we ready to make a motion?
If
do you
want to
hear public input first, or if there isn't any?
You can make a motion, sir.
I make a motion that we terminate our agreement with the City of Milton and our attorney, Alex Andrade.
This is Mike Cusack.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Marilyn Farrow. Remember, these are the two that are always on the 6-2 votes, okay? Supported. I don't know how close they are exactly to the Pitchfork Posse, but they're definitely their candidates, okay, in the sense that they supported them, and they always kind of align with them. I don't know. I'm not saying that they're, like, proxies for. I just know that they kind of, you know, if you're kind of get a picture of what's going on in Milton, that's the picture that you want to form.
I've got a point of order question.
This is Casey Powell.
So this item was not listed as an action item on a very specific special called meeting. It was listed as discussion. And per your own words at the Saturday meeting, how is a motion for anything in order?
Good question.
I actually didn't anticipate any motions to terminate the contract being in order. My purpose here, I've already stated what it is.
Okay. Listen, I try so hard to give people the benefit of the doubt. But do you honestly expect me to believe, Mayor Lindsay, that you would have the third attempt at a special called meeting to talk about how Alex Andrade has screwed something up? And you know the animosity between him and Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack, or I should say the animosity between Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow and him, and allegations that have been made against him, and all of the, you know, rhetoric that's been going on in the emails and the texts, okay? And you're going to bring a special meeting on how Alex has engaged in unprofessional communications or not, and you expect me to believe that it didn't occur to you Mike Cusack might make this motion? This was the most unsurprising motion. This was the most predictable thing that happened last night. So either as a lawyer calling the meeting, presenting the evidence, saying that you were too scared to have a one-on-one meeting anymore with Alex Andrade, later in the meeting she said that, okay? And she had implied it already. But you didn't think anybody would move to terminate the contract? I mean, that's either incredibly naive or, you know, you decide what you think. 524 on News Radio 92.3. It failed 5-3 or 5-2. Gavin Hawthorne was not there. So that failed. I take it back. Mike Cusack amended the motion when he realized it was going to fail. And he amended it to, well, I move that we deem that it was unprofessional. Like, that was the main. We just want to make a decision that this was unprofessional. That also failed 5-2. So, did Milton get what happened and engage in self-correction? Well, I mean, I think four did. I think four, well, five city council members understood what happened, and they're sick of this nonsense. And we'll see what happens going forward. 524 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab rizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new play.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZI to learn more.
Hey, Pensacola. It's Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Leavenrinke Realty. Your home is your most valuable asset, so make sure you're hiring a professional, the Leavenworth team. The Leavenworth team has the knowledge and expertise to help you buy or sell your home with confidence. Don't even think about making a real estate move without at least talking to us first. Contact us today at 850-378-1260. The Leavenworth team. Experience matters, and we're here to help.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
All we are is dust in the wind, dude.
She got styling on the wall, Beatles in a box, flags in the hall, Leon on interlock. It's styling on the wall, Beatles in a box, flags in the hall, Leon.
Good morning, 527 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, just baffled a lot of the time. Oh, man. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
A federal judge is striking down the new rule allowing for immigration authorities to deny asylum to migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border if they didn't apply online or seek protection in the country they passed through. The judge put that ruling on hold for 14 days for an expected appeal. Harvard University being investigated by the Department of Education over legacy admissions. A complaint from an advocacy group alleges that the university is potentially violating civil rights laws through those admissions, putting applicants of color at a disadvantage.
By the way, this was one of the big discussion points in the Supreme Court case that struck down the affirmative action, you know, right. That basically said you can't do that if you're not unless you're a military academy, maybe, was the issue of, you know, if you're trying to make access equal for everybody, legacy admissions are a kind of institutional racism because it tends to preference, obviously, historically non-black attendees, but also because it's taking seats away, right? It's a net zero, right? It's a zero-sum game. And so if spots are going to lesser qualified people who get in because they're a legacy, spots are not going to more qualified people who are not. And that's the argument. It's a fair one.
Absolutely. And Congress holding an anticipated hearing today, Andrew, on UFOs. Former U.S. intelligence official David Grush will be testifying before the House Oversight Committee after recent claims that the government has recovered technology of non-human origin.
All right. I'm going to say this
one. I want to believe.
I'm going to say this the one time. I'm going to ask this question the one time.
Ask it.
Is it entirely a coincidence that at the same time as we're starting to develop all of this ridiculously advanced artificial intelligence capability, that we are also all of a sudden publicly disclosing all of the stuff about unidentified aerial phenomena? I started to think about what the current acronym is. Right. That a pure coincidence in the history of the human species that both of these things are happening at the same time? Could be.
Never know.
I'm just saying, you know, they are happening at the same time. Also happening at the same time, Twitter is changing its X. So related, probably not. For David, fourth reason. Oh, did you see that, by the way, yesterday, Candy?
What?
So
Twitter,
Twitter changed its X, right?
To an X, right?
So and then they changed
so
it.
That its users can spell it.
Yeah. Ouch. But then they changed it to a slightly different same X, like with slightly thicker lines. And then Elon Musk said, no, I don't like it. I'm going back to the old one. I mean, I don't.
Dude, he's got that kind of money where he can just tell people to go do whatever.
Oh, but also Facebook Meta owns the trademark for an X logo for like 6 years already. So in the social media space, there might be a trademark claim against Twitter for violating Meta's pre-existing ownership of the X trademark.
They should fight it out in the Coliseum like they planned.
I will say, I've looked at the Facebook X, and it doesn't look anything like the Twitter X, but, you know, how thoroughly did you vet this choice, Mr. Musk?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The president's son, Hunter Biden, is expected to plead guilty to misdemeanor tax charges today in Delaware. His legal team's apologizing for what it calls an unfortunate and unintentional miscommunication with the court.
The district judge in question, Mary Ellen Noriega, has threatened to sanction Hunter Biden's lawyers after a member of his legal team misrepresented her identity to court officials so that she could improperly get documents removed from the public docket.
Fox's Kevin Cork. The Biden administration has 2 weeks to appeal a ruling against new limits on asylum seekers making them ineligible if they enter the country illegally.
A federal judge in California says that rule cannot remain in place, siding with immigrant rights groups who sued and claimed it violates federal law that protect asylum seekers regardless of how they enter the country.
Fox's Jared Halpern. The rule remains in place pending an appeal. There's been a drop in illegal crossing since it was enacted in May. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 76, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Investigators still looking for the public's help as they try to solve the murder of a 19-year-old man that happened near O'Reilly's Uptown Tavern last week.
We've received some tips from the public and the community, but we would like to have many, many more so we can bring this case to a bring justice for the family that was involved in this incident where a young victim was shot to death.
That's Pensacola Police Chief Eric Randall, who gave that update. And following the shooting last week, family identified the victim as Marlon Jarvis. And Jarvis, back in high school, played basketball for both Escambia and Washington High Schools. Congressman Matt Gaetz filed a bill that would end automatic birthright citizenship to children whose parents came into the country illegally.
The 14th Amendment reads, quote, "All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside." Insanely, and against the wishes of many of the drafters of the 14th Amendment, the powers that be have interpreted it to give citizenship to virtually every human born on American soil.
Gates's bill would amend the Immigration and Nationality Act to specify that at least one parent have lawful permanent citizenship or be a national refugee or active member of the military. Gates says his legislation recognizes American citizenship is a privilege and not an automatic right. Well, the parking woes in downtown Pensacola are very well documented. Confusion about whether you're in a public lot, a private lot, is it a paid or a private space? Just some of the challenges that both locals and tourists face when they go downtown. And Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city's now hired a consulting firm to look into parking issues.
We've got to do better than what we have right now. And I mean as a community, that what we know is when someone has a poor parking experience, whether it's in a blue space or in a red space that we have no control over, doesn't matter.
The city's paying $8,325 a month to Olive Tree Consulting through December 31st. That'll come out to just under $50,000. And Reeves says when somebody has a bad parking experience, it's a reflection of the city as a whole, regardless of whether it was a city-owned parking space or not. And a Pensacola woman arrested after a fatal crash in Milton last year, now facing homicide charges. 19-year-old Elizabeth Bradbury facing negligent manslaughter and aggravated fleeing and eluding charges. Prosecutors say Bradbury was driving a stolen vehicle that crashed into a sedan while fleeing from deputies. That happened July of last year, and the crash caused the death of a 73-year-old woman, seriously injured a 16-year-old, Bradbury being held without bond. Let's get a look at our weather forecast. Taking a look at our forecast this morning, we are expecting hot weather again today, high in the mid-90s, and that heat index will get up into the triple digits this afternoon. Then a bit cooler tonight into the mid-70s. It'll be cooler today along the coast, warmer inland. We're going to have low rain chances today and through the rest of the week. just about the same thing. 76 right now.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Okay, here we go. Golf Wins Credit Union Money Market, take one in 3, 2, 1.
Are you looking to safely grow your savings and move your future forward? Look no further than Golf Wins Credit Union's money market account. You know, I saw their billboard the other day showing a rate of...
Whoa. You can't say their money market rate on the radio. But yeah, it's a crazy rate. I opened an account last week.
Hold on. I can't say Golf Wins money market rate is...
Nope, can't say that. You can tell them about the big savings, like the script says, but you can't say the rate.
Okay. But people need to know this rate.
Yes, so read the last line.
Okay, golf wins, bigger savings, brighter future. Open your money market account at gogolfwins.com and move your savings forward today. Still can't believe that rate is...
Don't say it.
Federally insured by NCUA. See gogolfwins.com for full details.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish is serving only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of delicious southern sides. Every Wednesday is Wacky Wednesday, featuring $5.99 lunch basket specials until 3 p.m. And get ready for Shrimp-tastic Thursday. They're serving fresh seafood daily at David's Catfish House. Visit them on Dogwood Drive in Milton or on New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where southern and seafood meet.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
Good morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Cami County Sheriff Chip Simmons. He was at a conference for sheriffs elsewhere in the state with all of his command staff, and also with Sheriff Johnson from Santa Rosa County. He took some time to call in, and we talked about a bunch of things yesterday. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Doing great. We've had several, as you know, the sort of the headline news was that we had several shootings over the last several days. I sometimes hate to be the, like, hey, let's go over all of the big crime. But, I mean, that's the stuff that people want to know about because it's, you know, it is the big scary stuff. But one that took place over at, Old Quarry Field Road, I think, was the first one.
Yeah, that's the one that guy got in an argument with his, girlfriend. And ended up shooting her in the face, and then he fled to an area nearby and barricaded himself. After we'd called a SWAT team, and he wisely did. So yeah, we ended up charging him with attempted murder.
But she's recovering. Do we know anything about her status?
Yeah, my understanding is that while her injuries obviously are severe, that she is recovered and is. I expected to survive.
Oh, thank God. But as you and I have said, you know, as you have said so many times, you know, there's drug and gang related violence, and then there's, you know, domestic violence. And it's very hard to defend against, protect against domestic violence because it could be, you know, anybody in any relationship, unfortunately. We also had another bizarre, I thought, incident where two roommates got into a fight over some bills and there was a shooting.
Yeah, on the 23rd, we had a shooting. Two roommates got to an argument, as you said, and one just pulled out a gun and shot the other one in the stomach. We ended up arresting the roommate. I guess you should pick your roommates a lot better, and you also should find ways to, you know, to alleviate your arguments without resorting to violence like that. But yeah, we ended up arresting the guy, and his 30-year-old male was in that being shot in the stomach, and he also is expected to survive.
Well, that's the good news. But you know, you raised children. I'm raising some boys, and you know, I assume it's true for you. But I know how many times I've had to tell my boys, leave the area, you know, go take a breath, walk around. You don't have to say anything back. You don't have to do anything back. These things escalate on their own. You have to learn to de-escalate, right?
Well, it's conflict resolution. You need to be able to have those conversations, and when someone, one, hopefully both parties, should decide, hey, you know, this is getting out of hand. Let's cool it.
And, yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I don't know the particulars on this case, but unfortunately, a lot of those things are exacerbated by the fact that people are drinking or doing drugs, and, you know, so that can make it more difficult to, you know, to walk away.
Yeah, decision-making capacity is not enhanced by those things. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was even a third incident. Do I remember this correct? Do I have the right? And there was even somebody who wound up killed in an incident over the weekend. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, we had a homicide. This one also was a homicide. And then we had Sam Clowns. Sam Clowns is a small little lounge over off of Old Coyfield Road. The victim and the suspect were, again, engaged in a verbal disagreement or argument. And at that point, a guy named Michael Andrew Rodriguez pulled out a gun and shot the victim, which we don't identify the names of the victim, but shot the victim blank range because of an argument. And then he fled the scene. Our investigators did a great job of rounding him up. So he's been charged with a homicide. His name is Michael again. Michael Andrew Rodriguez.
Wow. And all of these, you know, this is, I mean, I hate to talk about it this way, but, you know, a lot of times we tend to think that these, you know, shootings are related to, as I said, drugs, money, and gangs. But in this case, all three of these incidents were what you would call some form of domestic and or verbal altercation, not the typical kinds of, you know, crimes that you might think of as being gun violence, right?
That's correct. You know, we talk a lot about if you're not involved in, you know, risk behavior, again, dealing in drugs, buying, ripping off people, or some sort of a volatile domestic situation, you're less likely to be the victim of a violent crime. And these, again, they kind of fit criteria. Although, I guess a roommate's arguing, you know, may not be domestic, and so it is a little bit out of the ordinary.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, it's not something that happened here, but it is a case that I just kind of, because we're talking about all these interpersonal communication breakdowns and relationships, that it reminded me of this. There was a case of a road rage incident where this guy, who's more hot of temper, and his wife had repeatedly told him not to flip basically other drivers off and not to mouth things at them. He got into some incident where he flipped somebody off and they shot her, shooting at him. And it's just, you just don't have to. You don't have to say that extra thing. You don't have to do that extra thing. You don't have to make sure they know that you know that, right? I mean, Sheriff, this is just learning how to not react is one of these key skills, right?
That's one of those things we talk to people all the time. I mean, if you, to me, the only reason you should use your horn is if you're trying to alert someone that, you know, you, they might be about to hit you or they might be able to hit someone else. But people that lay on the horn and keep it up and then they get next to somebody to, you know, either give them a gesture or yell and shout at them, you don't know what that person's got. I mean, we talked a lot about, you know, what people might have with them. They may, you know, have drugs. They may be less than willing to alleviate some of the arguments. And you just don't know. That's obviously very tragic. And we tell people all the time to, it's not worth it. Count to 10. And just settle down. It's not that bad. No one hit you. Just drive on and let them go.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. That's very good advice. One of the things that I've been talking about with, I had asked Sheriff Johnson about this yesterday. I actually checked with our Director of Public Safety, Eric Gilmore, who I know you know real well, about this as well. The rumor/allegation is that there is a different kind of fentanyl on the streets now that is resistant to Narcan when people get high with it, so you can't be brought back with a Narcan from an OD. Have you heard anything about this, seen anything about this? Do you know anything?
Yeah, I've heard about it. That's what they call Trank. And it's what it is it's, I think it's called xylazine. And basically it's a fentanyl mixed with this xylazine or trank. And it's becoming more and more dangerous because xylazine is not an opioid. So it's not, you can't bring someone back with Narcan. So that's why it's even more dangerous. And, I did some research on it a couple of days ago and the DEA is saying like 20% of the fentanyl that they're seeing, actually has this xylazine in it, is this type of mixture. So I think that, you know, the question is, are we seeing it in Escambia, you know, the Northwest Florida area? I would think that the chances are pretty high that it is. You know, we're seeing it maybe not at a large scale yet, but it's certainly something that we're keeping an eye on.
Wow. Okay, so we don't have cases that we know of yet, but based on that high prevalence, according to national sources, the likelihood that it's here is, I mean, you have to kind of expect that that's the case. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah. I would say that it is likely here. And you know, it's hard to tell. You know, I guess the medical examiner, I'm assuming they can tell when they do their the autopsy, and they can figure out exactly what drugs are in the system that they might be able to tell and give us a better idea. But again, if you go by statistics, you know, from the DEA, if 20% of their seized fentanyl has xylazine in it, I would assume that some of that in the Escambia County has as well.
Wow.
Oh. As if it wasn't enough reasons not to take fentanyl. Now you add this to it, and as you mentioned, it's resistant to Narcan, so that makes it even more dangerous.
Because it's not an opioid. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Huh. Wow. Okay. Sheriff Simmons, as always, thank you for the information. Thanks for checking in with us. And when you're at this conference elsewhere, I'm sure we'll talk about what you learned there next week. But again, thank you for keeping us informed, sir. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 546 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet, or, you know, when you turn on the water, or you just like to reclaim your Tupperware, you know, or the sour cream container. I don't know what you might, Rubbermaid, you know, I don't know what you use. I don't want to prejudge. I'm just saying maybe somebody who's behind this microphone has used things like that before. Anyway, don't do that. Be an adult, you know. Call a good plumber. That's Barbary Plumbing, 477-8782. They'll fix it right the first time. No questions, no surprises, and the price is based on the job, not based on the time at Barbary Plumbing.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
On Sunday at 8:53 p.m. In downtown, we had a call. As a matter of fact, we had numerous 911 calls of a male that was walking down the street armed with a machete and wearing a mask. It started about 8:53 p.m. About 8:54 hours, our officers were able to locate the individual on Palafox in the area of Romana. He was definitely carrying a machete and wearing a mask. There was a brief standoff where the officers challenged the individual. Ultimately, he was taken into custody after being tased by one of our officers.
I would say lucky day for him. That's what I would say is if you got a mask and a machete and you're walking down Palafox and you've already allegedly attacked somebody at Old Hickory Whiskey Bar, and then, you know, you're up against the cops, you know, there was a scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where there's a guy with a big sword and there's a guy on the other side with a whip and a
gun.
That's right.
You
never bring to a machete fight. So, but luckily they went with the taser, so not lethal, which is good news.
Simultaneously, as we were working that matter, we received a call for an incident where someone had been cut at the Old Hickory Whiskey Bar. We responded to that location, located the scene, made contact with a victim who was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The individual that was involved in this was a 19-year-old local man. He has been placed in the custody of the county jail.
Yeah, don't bring a machete to a pistol fight, right? But pretty unnerving to see something like that. Chief Randall, again, talking about this incident yesterday at Mayor Reed's press conference.
We are still working this case because we're trying to find out the why behind this. It was a very traumatic experience for a lot of individuals that were traversing downtown to see a man walking down the street with a machete wearing a mask. So our police responded diligently and were able to take care of the situation in the most efficient manner, keeping everyone's safety in mind.
No, you just didn't understand. He was on his way to his jungle hacking job. That's all that was. He was.
God. What is with all the machetes?
I don't know. Yeah, so, I do have a theory.
Okay, what's your theory?
I have a machete theory. My machete theory is, and hear me out, criminals are not creative. So, here's my theory. My theory is, you hear about one crazy dude with the machete, and now all you can think is, I'm going to be number five. You know, like, that's a good point. The innovation level among criminals, and look, I mean, I think it's most likely that we're talking about somebody with serious mental issues, okay? So, you know, we joke, we don't joke, okay, but... I think of, like, where do shootings take place? I'm not going to name the place, but you know the number one place that we always hear in the news, as far as a store goes, where they're always having shootings, right? Around the country. It's a big, well-known place, okay? And why is it that you don't hear about it at many alternative locations by comparison? Because I think criminals are uncreative. And I think in their mind, they... I've heard that enough times. I think, well, that's the place you do this stuff. I mean, I don't have a better answer, but I can't think of why, like, that store is particularly prone to this issue. There's nothing about what that store does is particularly different than what, you know, they do at any other retail operation. So why would it be there? Because I think criminals see 10 stories in the news about that. I guess that's where we do this. I mean, that's my best explanation. Do you have a better one? 437-1620. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Governor Ron DeSantis' campaign says it's cutting ties with a staffer that promoted Nazi imagery in a video. Axios reports that Nate Hotchman apparently created a video that showed Governor DeSantis at the center of the Florida state seal. That morphs into an ancient European symbol that was used by Nazis in propaganda videos at one point. So they're cutting ties with him.
You know, well, I mean, is he one of the 58? You know, the one third. Oh, I guess this is this campaign staff or is this?
I believe it's a campaign staff.
Okay, so, you know, high time to get rid of him because we're already shedding a third of our staff, right? So.
And then starting next year, Americans are going to have to pay if they want to visit Europe. In 2024, the European Union is going to start requiring visitors to get pre-approval from the European Travel Information and Authorization System, and it'll cost you $8 just to apply. If you want to visit, you'll have to provide travel documentation, passport, personal information, and then information on your education level, occupation, trip details, and criminal convictions. And they're advising people to apply well in advance if they want to visit.
It's
largely kind of like an instantaneous thing is what they're saying, but it could take longer depending on issues you might have had. $8 for all of Europe is how I read it for like that 90-day window. Is that how you read it too?
Yes.
Something like that. And so it's basically only in Europe. So from now on, going to Europe is going to feel like going to a place that's real close to Europe.
Your papers are not in order.
They're in order. Look at them again.
No. They are not in order.
Any Firefox fans in the audience? Anybody? Clint Eastwood? Nobody? Okay, fine.
No. Yeah, I know. I'm waiting for you to play Marathon Man next. My gosh.
Wow. Nice. Marathon. What?
No. Never mind. Not getting involved.
Not going down this road. Oh man, I there are some candy. We're friends, right?
Yeah.
Mostly, you admit it in public. Okay.
I don't know that face. I don't know what that's saying.
Yes, we are. Sincerely, everybody in the building are best friends. That's the truth.
It's
yes.
a trap.
yeah, Admiral Akbar.
But
yeah.
isn't it true that you and I have both, and I know a lot of our audience as well. You and I have both watched some, let's just say, relatively obscure. Okay, movies, but those movies we've seen like 20 times.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like we can reasonably expect that everybody's seen that movie, even people our age.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you kind of hope they have.
Sure.
You know, Firefox one of those movies for
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Like, I sure hope.
I got to tell, like, anybody, there's you don't always have time to watch movies, you know, in your life, you know. But there's some that, man, you should have watched this. You should have watched this.
Right,
you should definitely watch that. Like, I'm just getting into The Sopranos now.
Oh.
I know I'm way past, and oh, my God, it's so good.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think
I liked it. Yeah, I know.
That was never our show. That was and
well, there's a lot of swearing and
that's
killing.
That's probably...
So I can see why your family would
Well, and stripping, right? There's a lot of nudity in that show.
Oh, yeah. He owns a bar. Yeah, that happens. And Nurse Jackie's in it, and so's her boyfriend, and he's a priest. It's awesome.
We had, like, watched... I remember we had watched, like, one episode fairly early on, and we're like,
I did, too.
But in fairness, and I think it was largely because that was the time in our lives where we were a little bit more... I don't know. We aimed for things that were a little bit more PG than R, okay?
Well,
and
sure.
We don't really aim as hard that direction anymore. I mean, we still try to a lot, but like, we watched Ozark, and I don't think you can watch Ozark and then say I'm too good to watch Sopranos.
You know, that's Ozark is darker, I thought, than Sopranos.
And there's a lot of
it's actually a little bit
violence
lighthearted.
And profanity and nudity, and you know, so you can't really be like, no, not me, I wouldn't. Well, you know, okay, there we go. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh. Mayor yesterday, you hear David talking about this earlier in the show, but Mayor Reeves mentioned that recycling. Now, he said it's not a done thing, but it's not a final rule, but it looks like what they're doing is going to get rid of recycling at the curb for the city of Pensacola.
Nothing is finalized yet, but it's not necessarily that, you know, a document would need to be signed. But we've notified ECUA, our intent in the city is to move away from mandatory recycling at the curb.
That's a weird thing to call it, mandatory recycling, because it's not, it's not mandatory. You can put the milk jug in the trash. In fact, Vicki Campbell, the ECUA board member, she actually tells her husband not to recycle because he's bad at it. She jokes about this all the time. So it's not mandatory in the sense that if you put your bottles and your plastic.
No, but
it's
mandatory for that one box, for that one recycling bin is for recyclables only. That's the mandatory part. I know people ignore it and just use it as a garbage can.
You're not supposed to put garbage in there.
Well, the Gestapo's not going to come because you toss out a plastic bottle, Andrew.
I don't know.
Your papers are not in order.
Can you imagine?
Your recyclables? Your recyclables are not in order?
They're not, though.
What ourselves and other communities are learning around the country is that when it's mandatory recycling, some people care very much about recycling, and that's much appreciated. Some don't, and when you have a second can, it becomes the second garbage can. And then that takes away the value and the effectiveness of the program altogether.
Yeah, I mean, so what happens is, and we've talked about this before, and we're going to have Bruce Woody on from ECUA this morning at 6:35, kind of had pre-scheduled him anyway because they had a meeting yesterday. But, you know, the basic problem is that if you're good at recycling, as in you do what you're supposed to do, and it's not that hard. It's always amazing to me that people can get this wrong, but okay, fine. You know, you put the recyclables in there, and then whatever's not recyclable is contaminant. And if the contamination rate is too high, you actually get sent to the landfill because they can't process those recyclables. It becomes cost ineffective. They're throwing so much stuff out, takes so much manpower. It, depending on what's in there that's not supposed to be in there, it gums up the machinery, all of these things, okay? So when the contamination rate is too high, and it's like 50%, as in if you dump 100 houses worth of recycle bin stuff in the truck and you get over to the MRF, you find that 50% of the stuff that's in there is contaminated, not recyclable. So they send it to the landfill. And there's a penalty, I think is how I remember that works. Anyway, that's amazing to me, 50%. So he says, look, the problem with this is the houses that are just using it as an extra bin are ruining it for themselves, obviously. But then they're ruining it for everybody because it means that even the people who are recycling properly, their stuff doesn't get recycled. So we're going to get rid of this and instead go to see if people are willing to pay for it, because he says if you do it for free like in the county, people just use it as a second bin anyway. So we want it. Right. The pay is not so much because it costs to do, but the pay is to make sure that the people who have the recycling bin want to recycle and will do it properly so that it can be done effectively. The trade-off, by the way, is you're going to get twice a week garbage pickup in the city. So that's the trade-off, is instead of recycling, you're going to get twice a week garbage. So if you want to recycle, you're just not going to be able to in the city anymore. Local.